Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Never take your heart health for granted. For just $99, you can get a complete screening and know your risks. Call 601-249-5198 to schedule your Happy Healthy Heart screening at Southwest Mississippi Regional Medical Center.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Monday night. No, it's not Monday night. It's Sunday night, but close enough. It's I've got Masters on the brain, and it already feels like it's here. So I'm just thinking about tomorrow and watching Masters on the Range for 2 hours, and that's all they show us. But no, it's Sunday night, and I'm glad that you guys are here on this edition of the Rebel Report. We got a couple of things that we got to talk about tonight. First of all, Ole Miss baseball. Ole Miss baseball gets a series win that one of the D1 guys described as gritty, and I tend to agree. And so there's a few things to take away from that series, but the talent level will pick up this weekend with Tennessee coming to Oxford. But that series is going to be awesome. At least I think it is. The crowds and the energy and the environments should be spectacular. So I'm hoping the play will match that. Ole Miss also, basketball, got their first portal commitment. More to come. Of course, they have 11 spots to fill if they want to fill all 11 of them, which they may not. But that was a really good start. And so we'll talk about that as well as read your comments on this edition of the show. Again, my name is Michael Borky. Don't forget to subscribe if you have not already. To wherever you get your podcast, just search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review if you like what you hear anyway. And don't forget to like, subscribe, and all that good stuff right here on YouTube as well. And this edition of the podcast is presented by the Gregory Law Firm, DJ Gregory. He's in Fulton, but he can take care of you anywhere for personal injuries. So if you've been personally injured, don't waste another second. Wake up tomorrow or today, because I know the overwhelming majority of you listen on Monday, the actual day that I said, even though it's not Monday as we record this. Don't waste another second. 662-397-9799 is the phone number. 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today. Personal injury, any small business needs, and also contract disputes as well. So let's start with baseball, actually. I know most of our messages are about basketball so far, but let's start with baseball. I said after they lost game one on Friday, because we were actually live on the radio show during the entire game. So we got to just kind of sit there and like react to it during the radio show all day. And after Ole Miss couldn't pull through and Kentucky walked them off in the bottom of the 10th, I said that that loss could really sting. I mean, that one is going to be a massive missed opportunity, because there isn't much confidence in what they're going to throw out here on the mound in about 45 minutes from right now. And goes to show how talking head morons like me, how little we know, because Ole Miss got an outstanding pitching performance from everybody in game two of that doubleheader. Starts with Riley Maddux, who, I mean, if we're being honest, has been awful up until this point, especially in league play. And he gives them five complete of four hits in one run, only walked one and struck out six. Rodriguez had a clean one inning, and then McCausland was just dominant in his three complete, striking out five, giving up no hits and no runs. The pitching performance that Ole Miss got in game two of that series was gritty. That's, I forget who it was at D1 that used the word, but that's what it was. That series in and of itself, and I know I just talked about like just the pitching performance in game two, really. I know there's a lot that happened, right? Hunter Elliott's, you know, rough stretch, and he's good for like one inning this season of just kind of losing his command for a little bit. But I don't know if pitching was really the issue in game one anyway, but you didn't win the Elliott game. You had a couple of guys that really struggled at the plate, but that performance from all three pitchers in game two, but it started with Maddux setting the tone, is the definition of grit. They did not allow, and this team really all season has not allowed adversity to affect their approach. And that is a really important thing. That's a really big deal, because losing that first game, I thought they were going to lose the series. And so did, if the internet was any indication, so did a lot of you, because of what they have struggled with the most this season. And yet those guys stepped up in that spot. And then you got another really good, just kind of composite, if you will, pitching performance in a game that had to go into extras as well in game three. But Ole Miss only gives up 8 hits and 5 runs in game three of a series in 12 innings. I mean, they pitched 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys. Now, you know, all 7 weren't perfect, but a team that was really struggling on the mound goes to Lexington. The bats didn't really come with them, and they win a series anyway. I really like the mental makeup of this team. I like the way that they respond to adversity, and especially in a series like this where Kentucky, you guys saw it, you watched it. They play a style of baseball that mentally weak teams can get impacted by. I mean, some people described it as Bush League or Mickey Mouse and that kind of stuff. But it's a series in which they're on the road, and because of weather and stuff like that, there's really nobody there. But they're on the road, their opponent's really chirpy, and they play this style of baseball that kind of puts a lot of pressure on you both on the field and also, like, from a mental perspective, it's kind of bothersome. Again, you lose the Elliott game, your games are getting moved forward and pushed back even further, and yet they just locked in. And they did have some clutch hits as well. Obviously, Smithwick's home run was a big deal. Luke Hill had a couple of very important plays. You had Sanford with an outstanding throw, and they've been kind of struggling in the outfield some up until this weekend. I mean, you had really quality plays in the outfield all over this weekend, but you had a clutch throw out from Sanford and Wright. You had grit. You had mental toughness. You had all of those things that led to this series win, and I still don't know what this team's ceiling is. I'm not totally sure how good they are. Frankly, I think their talent ceiling is lower than that of their opponent this coming weekend. But, man, they're certainly not untalented either, but they are mentally tough. They respond to adversity very well. They have delivered in multiple different ways with their quote-unquote backs against the wall, and there's a lot to be said about that. And this was a big-time series win, I think, against a team that really tries to poke you mentally. And Ole Miss, instead of feeding into that, it's almost like they fed off of that and responded and won a series. The price of poker goes up this weekend. Tennessee is, regardless of getting swept in their doubleheader and losing the series to A&M, is the most talented team that Ole Miss has faced this year, bar none. I think the crowds are going to be really intense, and it's going to feel really big. But there's a lot to like about the way this team played and the way they responded to things this weekend, and not giving in to the BS that you get when you play Kentucky. And that was impressive. I came away really impressed with Ole Miss this weekend. So I know you guys have a lot of comments on it, so we'll get to those for more specific stuff. But still don't know quite how good they are, but I do know mentally they look like a team that can handle the grind of the SEC. I think so. Basketball, Corey Chest committed to Ole Miss. That's one that they've been working on for a while. The 6'8 freshman from New Orleans was at LSU this past season. And, you know, if you just Google his stats, you're like, okay, you know, whatever, right? 6 points, 7 rebounds per game guy. There's a lot to love about this pickup. That athleticism and his rebounding ability, what was he, a 10-rebound-per-game guy in SEC play, and that athleticism – is something that Ole Miss really lacked on the block this season. His game is what Ole Miss, this past team, was really lacking. He's long, athletic. He rebounds. He finishes well at the rim as well. I think he's a 61% field goal shooter. And again, he doesn't shoot much. He's below 50% from the line. But over a block per game, a steal per game, 9 rebounds per game in SEC play this season, long, and he's got 3 years of development, a very young, very raw player. But I now absolutely love, so far anyway, and there's more to come, Ole Miss's front court with him and Malik Dia. That is a really athletic front court, and I think that this should allow Dia to play a more natural position for him, because they're not asking him to be everything. And so pairing him next to a guy like Chest, who can kind of be your rebounder, your rim protector, and you know be your at the basket guy, where Dia can do more stuff in mid range and stretch the floor, make those outside shots. And Dia's athletic in his own right, of course, you guys know that. So this is a good pickup. Chris Beard clearly very, really liked him after they played, and for good measure. If you look at his rebounds per minute, especially, there's a whole heck of a lot to like with this guy in this portal pickup. They've got a lot more to go, no doubt, but so far, so good. And also Malik Dia, for what it's worth, it's no surprise to anybody. He was coming back, but did make it, you know, official on Twitter that he was going to return to Ole Miss. And I think Chris Beard is really good for Malik Dia. I think another offseason with some continuity is going to be really good for him. You should really like what you have on the block going into next year. And there's more to come. But these two guys, that's a really athletic front court. One of the more athletic ones in the SEC. Not the most, maybe, but one of them. One of them for sure. So I'll read your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. They're on exit 40 in Brookhaven, but they're also online, toyotaofbrookhaven.com. So there is so many examples, and I have fallen victim to it before, of bad car buying experiences. That's not going to happen to you at Toyota of Brookhaven. They will take care of you like a person and not like dollar signs. So check out their online inventory. You may not live in the area, but you want to shop with people like them. Again, toyotabrookhaven.com. Tell them I sent you, and you'll get $1,000 off any in-stock Toyota on me. $1,000 off before anything else happens. $1,000 on me. They also have a service department if you live in the area, one of the best-rated ones in the state, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m., 7 p.m. Any maker, model, doesn't matter. Doesn't have to be a Toyota. Check them out. If you want a great car buying experience with people that will take care of you, check out Toyota of Brookhaven, and don't forget to tell them that I sent you. To the comments we go. March Madness ends tomorrow. Don't you still owe us something? Yes, I do. I do. Finally, those Auburn bums. It's a little bit hard to just disappear for 24 hours when you have a five-year-old. I mean, somebody's got to take care of them. So it's a little tough. Finally, those Auburn bums have to go home, and we even got a historic collapse from Duke. That was amazing. That was amazing. And a lot of people were making, and I understand why, a big deal out of the over-the-back call that should not have been. When you score one basket in the final 10 minutes of a game, that's not the official's fault. It's not the over-the-back call. That's you. I mean, that's exclusively a Duke thing. I cannot possibly blame the officials for you scoring one basket in over 10 minutes, the final 10 minutes of the game. Dia back, Chest committed, one new player down, 9 to go. I'm curious if they will actually fill all of the scholarships or not. They might leave a spot or two open, but Is it fair to say that Samford's throw to tag the winning run out is the play of the season so far? Yeah, especially because they've struggled in the outfield. They struggled defensively, really, this season, frankly. And, I mean, that was just a rocket, too. My goodness, what a throw that was. But, yeah, that's the play of the season so far. I think so. Or Furnaces against Florida. But it's probably this one. Next weekend's Tennessee series should be very salty, particularly on Friday night. Oh, you know it. I mean, it's deserved, right? You guys know me. I think that the players now are professional athletes. And what comes with being a professional is professional treatment. And Andrew Fisher and Liam Doyle, they're not kids. They are professional athletes. They are very well paid, highly, highly paid. Professional baseball players, when they come back to the place that they left and they tried to bring more players with them, they should get the same treatment that pros get when they leave and force a trade out of a franchise and then have to go play them on the road a year or two later. They should get that kind of treatment. It always should be like that, but especially now and how it went down and the money involved. You want to be a pro, you get treated like a pro. If you force your way out of a place and then you try to bring other players with you, and unsuccessfully for the most part, I mean, I know they both went together, but they tried to bring more and were not successful in doing so. They deserve hostility, in my opinion. You want to be a pro, you get treated like a pro. And I think that it's going to be hostile. And I think that's a good thing. Expect nothing but the best from the Ole Miss students next week. Here's the thing, though. Because it's Fisher and Doyle, especially Doyle is so far from the student section, it's got to be everybody else. It's got to be everybody else. So, Samford's throw almost made up for going 0 for the weekend at the plate. Yeah. Yeah. Kentucky looked like a softball team in their dugout. Absolutely, they did. And if that's how they want to play, that's fine. I mean, it's working for them, I guess. They're certainly not a bad team, but that Mickey Mouse stuff can get to their opponent if their opponent lets them. And Ole Miss did not let them. They did not take the bait, really, with that. But, yeah, Kentucky plays a kind of a Bush League, not style of baseball necessarily, but kind of. They certainly act like a rec league team with the antics and all that goofy crap that they do. And everybody in baseball kind of does stuff like that now, but they are certainly a different level of it. And they got it thrown right back into their face on their own home field. Love the passion. Appreciate that. Saw a lot of good things overall on the mound by Ole Miss. Maddox finally delivered a good performance, but did I miss something on them pulling Spencer in game 3? If it continues, they win sooner. So, I mean, he's been banged up, right? He's been hurt. So my assumption at the time was that was part of it. We'll have Bianco on the radio show tomorrow. We'll ask him about that to get some more clarity, because I do not know the answer for you right now. Florida got swept again. Georgia got swept. That was a surprise. Missouri's still terrible, and Florida State got run ruled twice at home by Wake Forest Wild Weekend. No kidding. Why did Mike get tossed? So he got tossed because somebody in the dugout got tossed for chirping at the umpire, and when that happens, the coach also has to go. It's a very stupid rule, but that is how it is. And I love how umpires just – they hear something and will just, somebody has to go. Like, that's their thing, is I have no idea who said it. Don't really even know what they said. Could have been a fan in the crowd. I don't know. That's happened in a major league game where a fan yelled something and the umpire made the team eject somebody out of the dugout because he realized he screwed up but didn't want to fix his mistake. But that's what happened. The coach has to go also. When somebody in the dugout gets thrown out. thought they were losing the series going in. Now 8-4 in league play, they just grind out wins, and that's how three series wins in a row. They've got some ferocity to them, which you need in the SEC. Exactly. I mean, their resume is outstanding. I feel kind of goofy, you know, questioning their ceiling and talking about ceiling, because look at their resume. Their non-conference is pretty outstanding. I mean, I know they have that South Alabama loss, but you can excuse one midweek loss, right? I mean, that's not a big deal at all. They were really good in the opening series as well. Got a couple of good wins there. They have a nice win over Southern Miss, and now they're 8-4 in the SEC. Like, why do I keep questioning them? I need to stop. But, I mean, the resume is really good. They are finding ways to win games. They're clearly mentally tough. If they can put everything together at once, they have a chance to be a really good team. We're going to find out this weekend exactly what they are. What a relief it is to get Tennessee and not A&M next week. One of those teams just seems unstoppable. Yeah, I mean, and you know, that's when the phrase "that's baseball" comes in, though, is when Tennessee loses a doubleheader to Texas A&M. Tennessee's going to be a huge series. Got to give your props to the program that popularized the sport of college baseball. Couldn't imagine where we'd be without Tony Vitello. Oh, my gosh. And then they add a student section for like 300 kids. And now suddenly it's like, oh, that's going to be – look out for Tennessee's new student section. And I even saw a couple people in the replies that were like, you should have been there when we were chanting the right fielder's name after they gave up a home run. It's like, you are – congratulations, you are doing the bare minimum. But for some reason, when somebody wins, it has to become everything they do is innovative. It's not totally dissimilar to the stuff that you get with Colorado. Now, the scales are totally different, and the reasons why are different, right? Because Tennessee's actually winning something of value. But anytime Deion Sanders does literally anything, college, like sports media is like, wow, oh my gosh, look at Coach Prime doing it differently. It's like, actually, it's not different. They're just kind of doing what everybody else does. But he also does not go on the road recruiting. Maybe he should do that. His team could be even better. But it's like that with Tennessee now. It's like, oh my gosh, they built a student section. It's like, okay. Ole Miss has one. A&M has one. Mississippi State has one. What are we talking about here? They built a student section for a few hundred students. Cool. I don't know. Just, it's weird. The mocking of Kentucky's dancing by the players after winning yesterday was classic and really angered the Kentucky players. Yeah, you know, that bothers me. That concept. And as my son grows up and when he starts playing sports, I'm going to tell him this very thing. When you lose, you put your head down, you say good game, and you leave. If you're going to do all that dancing BS in the dugout and then you lose and your opponent does the same stuff that you do, you cannot get mad. They beat you on your home field. Want to stop them from doing that back to you? Don't lose. Or don't do it all, but don't lose. To the victor go the spoils every time. And for Kentucky to get all bent out of shape because how dare you make fun of us as you act like that in the dugout, there's an easy way to prevent. Who was it? Was it Mason Nichols that did it? There's an easy way to stop him from doing that. Don't let him beat you. Good vibes from Alabama. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. I cannot play music on here. I will immediately get a copyright strike. I mean, right away. It's algorithmic. I mean, it'll happen right away. So I would play something like that for you. I would love to have background music while we're just hanging out, but can't do that. Cannot do that. Are we sure Texas isn't the best baseball team in the SEC? They're 11-1 and just swept Georgia, plus took 2 of 3 from LSU. They need to be number one in the country come tomorrow when the polls come out. For sure. Caught the show late. They again, the transfer portal. Corey Chest, he was a freshman at LSU this past year, really athletic big man. Gets rebounds. Very good compliment to Malik Dia. Who wins between Florida and Houston? I'm going with the Gators. Me too. I'm sticking with Florida. They were my national champion the whole time. And while Houston is tough, God, they're tough. Samson's a beast, man. They're a college basketball powerhouse. They've been to six straight Sweet 16s at a minimum. So at least they've been to the Sweet 16 six consecutive years. They're a powerhouse. But I still think Florida. Coach Yeo ain't slacking either. Yeah, her portal class looks great. Bianca going up against O'Sullivan, Mingione, and now Vitello in back-to-back-to-back weeks. Most obnoxious SEC coaches, right? Yeah, and it's not even anywhere close. There's no close second. I mean, that is a stretch of unlikable that does not exist anywhere else in college baseball. Love how Broome and Baker Mazar both melted in the clutch for Auburn. Yeah, me too. Houston can play nasty defense, keeps them in games. They're legit. They're so well coached, is it? And just tough. And crazy question, but what do you not like about Kiffin? That's an interesting question. So what do I not like? Obviously, there's a lot of things that I do like, right? Immediately adopted the portal, elevated the floor of the Ole Miss football program, is winning and is interesting. Aside from this past year, offense is good. It's not only is Ole Miss winning games, but it's an entertaining product as well. What I don't like about him is I think that he could be a little bit more serious. And I know that's just not his thing, and you need to just let Kiffin be Kiffin and let his thing be his thing. But I do think doing stupid things like tweeting pictures of alligators on your way to the stadium before a game that you lose is stupid. Trolling your own fan base about a job that they're worried you're going to take is stupid. I don't like how often he rips on fans. When you leave at halftime of the Tulsa game, when it's 100 degrees outside, I don't think that's the time to come down on you guys. As he's doing a press conference in the middle of the Auburn debacle, and he's getting a brand new $40 million renovation to his facility, he has the audacity to complain about a water leak. Well, they're renovating the building. That stuff happens. That kind of stuff is the lack of seriousness at times, I think, is problematic. And part of me wonders if that spills over into the day-to-day organization of the program, because he's exceptional. And how much better could he be if he just kind of locked it up a little bit, you know? I mean, he's great, but if you just stopped doing stuff like that, I wonder how much better they could be. I don't know. Ole Miss baseball is 8-4. Can we get an updated prediction on what I think their final record will be? Ooh, okay. Let's see. Let's look at this schedule. 8-4 now. So they have 18 more games, right? Isn't that the math? So let's do it this way. I think they'll get one this weekend, two in Columbia, two against Vanderbilt. Let's call it one in Norman, two in Starkville. Two against Auburn gets them to 18-12. There you go. Fisher and Doyle have what's coming to them? Absolutely. Does Fisher get one in the year Friday? So I am very anti giving your opponent an advantage even to send a message. I don't think that's the right way to do it. For a lot of reasons. One, you giving them a free base and possibly, like if it's Hunter Elliott, you run the risk of getting him tossed from the game. So you don't want that. I don't think whatever message you send is worth possibly losing Elliott and then even just giving up the one free base. What you do is you let your fans tell him what they think about him and you strike him out three times. That's what you do. That's the in my opinion, I know old school baseball is you throw out guys if they make you mad. I know, but to me, it's strike him out. Strike him out and then let your fans let him know that he struck out. And then strike him out again. And then let your fans know. And you let him know. If Hunter Elliott strikes him out, let him know. But I don't think hitting him on purpose is better than just striking him out three times. Also, Luke Hill's an absolute dog. What a player. Complete heel turn from last year. But yeah, he's doing a lot of really good things. Man, Banning's whole stretching between innings used to piss teams off so much. Yeah, Bush League stuff can get in teams' heads. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. What players is Beard and staff targeting in the portal? Any guards? Yes, a lot. To try to keep up with all of them would be a bit of a fool's errand. I know they're working hard on that Jacksonville State guard, but yeah, there's a lot. I mean, they have nine spots to fill. They have to get a point guard. They have to get multiple guards. I mean, they got to get another big. They've got to get ideally a couple of wings and a couple of guards, a high-level shooter. I mean, they're after a lot. They have a lot of spots to fill. Wonder if Missouri can actually go 0-30. I don't think they will, but when we start talking about moving Morris into the starting rotation on the weekend, if it goes poorly this weekend, I mean, frankly, I think there's a reason I don't get paid a couple million bucks a year to coach, but I was saying on the show going into the, on the radio show going into the series that they should do it now. And obviously they didn't. And obviously it worked. So it shows what I know, but if it goes poorly this weekend, you got to consider making some changes. Umpires are thin skinned for the most part. No, almost all of them. So are we sure the SEC in baseball is deep top to bottom, or is it more top heavy? Teams like Florida, Carolina, Mississippi State look pretty bad. Florida especially, my goodness. Florida's really, really banged up, but that offense is good. Hey, Mississippi State won the series this weekend. But even Mississippi State, they've got, like, they pitched it really well all weekend, but they've got a couple of bats in the lineup that you're scared of. Really top to bottom, that lineup's pretty darn good. And Pico on Friday can beat anybody. So even Mississippi State, who's like at the bottom of the SEC or near the bottom of the SEC, still has a bunch of dudes that would play anywhere in the country. No one else in the dugout got ejected. Well, I mean, that was the explanation that was given on the broadcast. So I don't know what else to tell you. I can't afford to travel to Lexington. So I didn't know what happened there, but that was what the explanation that they gave was. So sorry. Dia coming back is huge. It is, but he was never going anywhere. Ole Miss is known for beer showers in the student section for about two decades, but have to apologize to Tennessee for doing things before the sport of college baseball was invented 15 minutes ago. Yeah. do worry about how Ole Miss is going to hold up on the mound against Tennessee. The UK series was good, but they'll have a pissed off team coming in, not to mention Ole Miss's own juices flowing. Yeah, and Florida has a very good lineup, and they really hit the baseball well against Ole Miss. And this Tennessee team's got a better one. So I'm concerned about that as well. Trevor Bauer used to say that exact same thing about his strut after a strikeout. He said, if you don't want me to do it, then don't strike out. Exactly. You know, there's a way that you should act when, if my son grows up and he's good at sports, he's into soccer right now. If you score, you high five your teammates and you run back and you do it again. I don't want him showing off. I don't want him bat flipping or anything like that. I mean, Coach Carter's kind of a cheesy movie, right? But the question, when did winning stop being good enough, is a good one. When did winning stop being good enough? I'm not anti-bat flip. Do it. Whatever. Have fun. Celebrate with your team. All good. But him, I'm going to make sure that winning is good enough for you. Scoring, that's good enough. Hitting a home run, that's good enough. Some of Kiffin's tweets in the offseason are so puzzling. And yeah, I agree with the lack of seriousness. It might affect sometimes his over aggressiveness in games, mainly short yardage and fourth down. Yeah. 18-12 is hosting a regional. Absolutely no doubt with Ole Miss's resume. No doubt. Don't know if you can trust Ole Miss to win at Duty Noble. State might be bad, but they always turn it up for Ole Miss. They do. They do. Ole Miss is simply better than them at the moment, though. But true. Emotions aside, getting one win against Tennessee is probably going to be the best scenario. I don't think that's the best scenario. I do think that's the most likely, though. And that would be a fine weekend. Tennessee's really good. If they get one, I mean, you hate to lose to those guys. You don't want to lose to Fisher and Doyle and all that. But if they do get one, all good. Wish Kiffin would take a more serious approach. Imagine if he took it as serious as Coach Beard. That's kind of what I'm getting at. As you see, and look, it's what we see publicly, right? Maybe internally, everything's locked in and focused and serious 100% of the time. But stop, like, tweets, whatever, teaching yoga classes, stop trolling your own fans. That's so immature is what that is. I'm sorry. I know there are people that don't like when you criticize the football coach at all. Trust me. Gosh, there are some people that listen to the radio show that, by God, I mean, the second you dare say something not perfect about Lane Kiffin, it's, oh, you want Matt Luke back? It's just you can acknowledge that somebody's doing a great job and also think that there are things that they do that aren't perfect. I'm sure as hell not perfect. I do things wrong all the time. So why do we act like the football coaches are perfect when we aren't? Just grow up a little bit, you know? Stop trolling your own fans. They pay your gaudy salary and they buy your roster that you underachieved with. Just anyway. Haven't thought about the idea of Ole Miss as a host with what they have on the mound every weekend, but they just keep winning games. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. And they've got the resume for it right now. There's no doubt about it. Ole Miss needs to start winning their rivalry series in baseball more, though. 5 series in a row to Arkansas and need to beat State more, especially since they're down. That is the one major knock against Mike Bianco. And you guys know me. I don't particularly care about the rivalry as long as other stuff happens. Like, you would take your season that you just had at basketball over Mississippi State's 100 times out of 100. There are people out there that for some reason don't like agree with that sentiment. And it's only because they're the ones that have the 2 rivalry wins, right? But that is a knock against Mike, is State kind of owns him. even with all the wins, Ole Miss is still the worst situational hitting team this side of coach's pitch. I think we have like two hits with bases loaded in a month. Yeah. But also, I mean, that offense just often has people on, and eventually you're going to get out and leave runners on. But they're very good at getting on base. They aren't arch rivals, but Ole Miss and Arkansas is a fantastic rivalry. It spans all the sports, right? It's a very fun, like second tier rivalry for sure. Won a series against Arkansas when it counted the most, 2 of 3 in Omaha, and won the title. Something that they have not done yet. So, anyway, you guys are the best. Thank you so much for tuning in, as always. Again, sorry about the being wrong about why Bianco got ejected. All I have to go by is what the broadcast said to happen, since I was not in Lexington. The travel budget does not yet cover road baseball series, but maybe one day. Anyway, I appreciate you guys. And yeah, UK broadcast was not great. I will say something about that, though, because I saw a lot of complaints about Kentucky's broadcast, and all of them are correct. It was not good. It was really not good. And the people that work on Ole Miss's are good. They do a good job. And so when you see the opposite of that, it's a little bit more jarring. Here's the thing. Actually, there's two things. One, I had a lot of people like in my mentions and stuff, and, well, why can't Ole Miss get homers like them? Because you don't want that. Because you, not a Kentucky fan, had to watch a broadcast and they were openly rooting for Kentucky, and that's an awful view. Like, it's a bad watch, and so you don't want to produce the same bad watch. Your guys do it right. And, I mean, you got a Kessinger in the booth, so but they do it. That's the right way to do it. So just because Kentucky has homers on the TV broadcast, radio is a different story. Everybody's got homers on the radio broadcast, and they should. But the TV side, you don't want that. You want what you've got, I promise. They do a good job. Also, though, you shouldn't have a high expectation for the streaming-only college baseball broadcasts. They're not going to invest heavily at these places in baseball broadcasts on streaming only, because nobody watches them. Nobody's a strong word. They're very poorly watched. Baseball does not move the needle outside of a handful of places. I have heard some of the numbers that the baseball games get, and they're really small. Ole Miss fans watch Ole Miss games. LSU fans watch LSU games. But by and large, college baseball, even in the SEC, on the streaming platform, does not do big numbers. And so they're not going to invest in broadcasters that aren't right there. They hire people out of convenience, not out of anything really other than that. So that's kind of what you should expect on a broadcast, is more of that, because they're not going to invest heavily on neutral broadcasters for games that don't get watched by many people. Ole Miss is just that they're lucky. They've got people that care about putting on a fair broadcast, more so than other spots. And there are other places that do well too. It's not just Ole Miss that has a broadcast crew that does well. But some of these places think that because they're Kentucky's people, that they should be Kentucky's people. And when you're putting on a TV product, that's not what you are, but that's how they do it. But there's not many people that can actually do that job or are willing to do that job. You say State's pretty good about it too, especially with Jay Powell as well. But Bart's a good guy and does a good job. But you have a really smart analyst too when Jay's up there. So yeah, I think Mississippi State's is pretty good. There's a few of them that are good. Seem to be the only school that treats all of the SEC Plus broadcasts like serious broadcasts. Even the camera work is high quality. I shouldn't say that you want that. I shouldn't tell you what you want. You should want whatever you want. But I think when it comes to a broadcast, you want the most neutral, generally speaking. Just which baseball games were more on SEC Network and ESPNU and similar channels, at least the big teams more often. I agree. I would love to see that more too. There's a reason they're not, though. It's hard to find the games on ESPN, and it confuses so many people. The app sucks. The interface is horrible. Almost as horrible. Always love David Kellum on the calls. Great guy, too. Kellum's great. Just a world-class guy. Just world-class. Brad Henderson, also his analyst, is world-class. All-time hits leader at Ole Miss is Brad Henderson. But should expect more SEC baseball on ESPN once the MLB goes away soon. I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I think that the ESPN is not going to give college baseball much airtime, frankly. But hope I'm wrong. I would love to be wrong. I often am. See you guys on Tuesday. Y'all have a great night. Appreciate you. And again, I'll talk to you on Tuesday. Y'all have a good night.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Find your new ride at Kia Macomb's all-new location at the corner of I-55 and Highway 98. Come find out why Macomb loves Kia Macomb at the corner of I-55 and Highway 98. Right on the corner, right on the price.